Text today is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 and 25, and then verse 31 and 233. No one can serve two masters. So let's go to Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Praise God. And in verse 24, Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. And for money there, you can see, look at money there as a metaphor. A metaphor for anything, any object we devote intense attention towards. Anything you give intense need towards as a necessity for life. The things we devote ourselves mostly towards, those money is a metaphor for those things. And they are the pointers for who our master is. Okay? Now let's go to verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles strive after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You cannot have two masters. You cannot have. As a Christians, we cannot have two masters. Praise God. Now, let me draw our attention to two key words here. And those words are going to help us illustrate and understand the concept of the teaching Jesus is bringing that we can't have two masters. The two words are serve and master. And we find both of them in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. So the first word is serve. Remember that. And the second word I want to draw attention to is master. Now, let's talk about the first word, serve. The Greek word serve speaks about a person who is an indentured servant. It's speaking about a slave relationship, person who is in bondage. So that is the image that is being presented here when he says you can't serve. You can't be indentured. You can't be a slave to two masters. Okay? And so I took the liberty to look up the dictionary meaning of serve. And I found two that are quite appropriate. The first one says this. The first one says this about serve. It's to perform duties or service for a person or an organization as an indentured slave or under slave conditions. Performing duties and services for a person or an organization as an indentured slave, a slave. So, by extension, if you extend the application of this meaning to Matthew 6:24, here's what Jesus is trying to say. Jesus is saying that as a slave, a person is not able to perform duties or offer services effectively and efficiently to two separate individuals. Simultaneously. In other words, he's saying that a Christian cannot at the same time be dutiful to God in service and at the same time be engaged in the service of another one. He said that's not possible. That's chaos. You can't be someone, two people's indentured slave. You can't do that because then your loyalty will be divided. Jesus says that as a slave, a person is not able, you're not able to do that. Okay? You're not able to do that. Now, the second definition of serve I found in the dictionary is to present food or service to someone. To present food or service to someone. So, let's extend this again to Matthew 6:24. It means that a Christian is not able to present themselves to God as a slave and present themselves equally to another as a slave. He says it is an impossible situation. You cannot be equally devoted to both parties as a slave, because as a slave you are an indentured servant. And so that means you belong. You are belonging to someone. So Jesus says we cannot present ourselves to more than one master as an indentured servant. We can't be the servants of two masters. Okay? So that serve, that's Jesus' point about servant. Now the second word, remember I said the two words I want you to focus on. The second word is the word master. Okay? Serve and master. Serve and master. We've talked about serve. Now let's look into master. By definition, master speaks about a person who is in charge of people or others working for him, especially as servants or as slaves. So a master is the main principle in any relationship. Okay? So there are further additions. Other definitions of master speaks like this. A master is he to whom a person or things belong. Interesting, isn't it? A person of to whom a person or thing belongs, about which the person has power of deciding like Lord. A master is he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of decision, like Lord. Meaning he is a possessor and disposer of that thing. He is the owner. The master is the one who has absolute control. The master is the sovereign. The master is the prince, the chief. The master is the supreme authority within the jurisdiction of the slave or servants or those who work for the master. So what is Jesus employing here? So Jesus implores with great concern that it is not intended, that God never designed it to be so, that God did not design us to serve him and serve something else, that Christians, we cannot have two masters. We don't have two heads. Christ is the only head of the church. We are not designed to have two masters. God's plan for salvation, God's plan for redemption, did not come by two masters. Only one master. So the power of deciding and possessing a Christian's life must come from God's singular authority through Jesus Christ. He owns us. He owns the Christian. Christ is Lord of Lords. He's a Lord and he is the head of the church. And he must alone remain the determiner of all our destinies and service. Get that? The master must alone be the determiner of all of our destinies and all we do, all our service. He must and he does have absolute control and complete jurisdiction. We have to understand that. When we fail to understand this dynamic master-servant relationship, then we have a tendency as Christians to invite more than one master into our lives. But we must get what God is saying to you and I here, that the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only determiner of all our destiny, all of our service, that he alone must have within our minds and our understanding absolute complete jurisdiction over us. That Christ remain to us Christians sovereign at all times, prince at all times, chief at all times, and supreme Lord at all times. Now, it's very interesting that I know that when it comes to Christian warfare, when we have need, we always want Christ as master. Because we want him to help us.
When it comes to pleasures, when we come to the other things, we want to invite others to be our masters. It cannot be so. Now let's go back to Matthew 6, 24 and 25, our foundation scripture, and to connect the two words, master and serve. So what is the connection between serve and master? That connection is nothing less than relationship. This is all about relationship. How we relate. The relationship we have with God. The relationship we have with the things of this world. The relationship we have with humanity. With created things. It's all about relationship. So the question or the teaching that Jesus Christ is bringing for us here is saying to you and I, what should the relationship between a master and servant look like? What should it be all about? What should the relationship between Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, what should the relationship be like? Here's how the relationship should be like. According to the explanation I've just given, the master must remain. The master has absolute, uncompromised jurisdiction over the life and destiny of the ones who are his indentured or slave servants, those who serve the master. Remember that. He has complete, uncompromised jurisdiction over your destiny, over your spirit, soul, and body as the master. It means, brethren, listen to this carefully. It means that your master has the right to define and determine the scope of your existence. He has a right. Whoever you make your master ultimately will have the right to determine the scope and the destiny of your existence. Because they will put their authority or their demand upon you and expect you to respond. In the life of a believer, the master is the main principle, and that master is Jesus Christ. The master must have the right and authority to impose on a servant their will as a matter of priority. As a matter of priority, don't miss that. In addition, a master determines what is considered best for the servants. The master will determine what is considered best for your will. What is considered best for your thoughts, for your desires, for your ambitions, for a person's duties, and for a person's achievements. The master has that control. Because the reason why a master exists is because they are sovereign in that jurisdiction. That sovereignty comes in many forms. Okay? And that's why they are the master. It could be real sovereignty or it can be imagined sovereignty. But as long as you've made them the master, they will have that sovereignty. And they are uncompromising in that jurisdiction. Remember that. That's why Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. If you want your life to be chaotic, if you want confusion to set in your mind, try being a slave to two masters, which is something Christians do a lot. And if you're earnest with yourself, you will confess that it doesn't work. Okay? Now, on the part of the servant, on the part of the one who serves, okay, the person who's serving is duty bound. Remember, the master has jurisdiction. Now the servant, the server, is duty bound to obey the master without first regard to self. Okay, the master sets priority for the servant without regard to the needs of the servant. guess what? The servant must obey. The servant is duty bound to obey the master without first regard to self. The dictates and the desires of the master is to be carefully, listen to this, all the master desires must be carefully observed. You must observe what your master wants, desires are, and then you must submit in obedience to carry it out. As a servant, you must hold infallibly the counsel of the master as final authority with regards to anything, whether it's knowledge, whether it's wisdom, expression, purpose, destiny. You hold the master's counsel to be unapproachable, infallible, perfect at all times, because that's the master. So when you be careful, therefore, who you make your master. That's the point Jesus also is expressing here. It's a matter of priority. The master will always demand priority, whatever that master is. And the servant's duty is to submit to the master, because divergence from the master will not be met without repercussions. Okay? Priority is key to firmly really understand the importance of this relationship. Priority is key to understand the importance of a master-servant relationship. And this is the relationship, by the way, that Jesus is saying is appropriate for us as Christians. So we must understand this dynamic of our relationship with our master. Because there's responsibilities, there are demands, there are desires of the master that is put upon us, and we must respond. Priority, we must respond. Devotion, we must respond. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, while speaking on marriage and singleness, reflects on devotion. Turn with me, if you can, to 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 34. Okay? I understand the scripture directly is speaking about singleness and marriage, but there's something about devotion that is important here that I want to emphasize, because it relates to a master-servant relationship. 1 Corinthians 7, 32 says this: I want you to be free from concern. The unmarried man is concerned about the work of the Lord. How can he please the Lord? But the married man is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can he please his wife? And his interests are divided. Watch that. His interests are divided. This is about devotion, right? Let's continue. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the work of the Lord. No distraction. Complete and entire devotion to the Lord. How can she be holy in both body and spirit? So the unmarried woman is devoted to the Lord, and her focus is, how can I please my master? With my life, with my body, with my spirit, with my soul, how do I please my master? But the married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can she please her husband? Now, I'm not discrediting the marriage relationship. No. A marriage relationship that is functioning under Christ, of course, will still be devoted to him. But the point is here, brethren, you know, the point is here that whatever you begin to attach yourself to has the power, it has the potential to pull you away from devotion to something else. Remember that. It's about devotion with this scripture. If you're single, then you're devoted to the Lord. So singleness, if you're single, hey, you're not in a bad space, as long as you find everything about you devoted to the Lord. That's what the point is here. But he says, as soon as you become attached to something or someone else, then there becomes this need and it rises for devotion to be transferred, or some part of your devotion that was formerly dedicated to God is now being devoted in pleasing your spouse. So this is about devotion, he's saying. But we do understand that in a master-servant relationship, the devotion, the priority of devotion cannot be shared by two masters. So your husband can never be your master. The Lord is always your master. Your wife can never be your master. The Lord is always your master. But the beautiful thing is that when a husband and wife submit both to Christ, He becomes their master in the context of that relationship. Praise God. Now, look with me to Luke chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. I want to reemphasize this point of priority and the demands of the master. I want to reemphasize it because here we find Jesus speaking, giving a parable to the servants. He says, "Which of you, whose servant comes in from plowing or shepherding in the field, will say to him, 'Come at once, sit and down and eat'?" Watch. So the master is at home and the servants are busy in the field doing what? Serving the master. So the master put a demand on the servants to go to the field and serve the mission, the purpose of the master. So you see that the master is determining not only the destiny, the achievements, the purpose, the calling, and the engagement of all his servants. He's at home and he says to them, "Go in the field and take care of my business." So while they are in the field, please remember this. They are in the business of taking care of what concerns the master. They're not in the field working for their own families. They are in the field taking care of the business of the master. Now watch. Verse 8. He says, "Instead, won't he tell them, now they come home from taking care of the business of the master, will he say to them, 'Come at once, sit down to eat'?" Come at once, sit down to eat. No, he wouldn't. Instead, would he tell them, "Prepare my meal and dress yourself to serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink"? You see the absolute priority of the demands of the master. Brethren, this is important because this is about relationship. It's about relationship of the master, between the master and the servant. Whoever you make your master, whoever you call or submit yourself to be your master, these are the things they will demand from you. So be careful who you make your master. So the emphasis of both scriptures of 1 Corinthians 7 and Luke 17 is priority and devotion in our relationship to our master. As Christians, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Luke makes it clear to us that devotion to God alone as master will always make his demands priority in our life. Have you really allowed the demands of God to be the priority of your life? If we haven't, if there any area of a Christian's life that God, the demands of God is not the priority, then in those areas, there's an indicating you have another master. Because the demands of the master must be kept without regard to personal needs or desire. Watch now. The demands of the master are to be kept without regard to personal needs or desires. There is no cost to spare when you are dutifully devoted to your master, and in this case, God. There is no cost to spare. Because your life is no longer yours, you belong, you are indentured, we are slaves of the master. And I want to tell you this because it's very important. This applies both to when we devote ourselves to God and prioritize the things of God, and this also applies when we are devoted to anything other than God. So when the devotion of a Christian focuses on anything other than God, then we have invited that thing or person to be ruler and master of our lives. You see it a lot in marriage. Some Christians who are single, they just go crazy because they're single. You can't do that. And I'm not calling anybody out, so I'm just going to leave that alone. But just remember, this is critical, that whoever you've invited to be your master, by reason of submitting to that one will demand from you. Try it. If you make alcohol your master, guess what? Alcohol will demand your time. It will demand your resources. It will demand your emotions. It will demand your thinking. It's going to put its demand on you. If you make money your master, guess what? Money will demand your time. Money will demand evil from you. Money will demand wickedness from you. Try it, you see. The priority of money becomes your priority. Whatever it is. That's why in Romans 6:13, it says this to us. Do not present the parts of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Present. Don't allow anything master your life, period, other than God. Do not present yourself to anything. Verse 16 says this, Romans 6:16. Do you not know that when you offer yourselves as obedient slaves, you hear that? When we are offering ourselves as obedient slaves, slaves are obedient. You are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin leading to death or to obedience leading to righteousness. Do you see that? Whoever we offer ourselves to becomes the master in that area of our lives. It is potentially possible for a Christian to have God as a master over their lives in certain areas, and in some other areas, something else is a master and demands priority. A lot of times Christians, let me give you an example. We find out, a lot of us have a lot of fear in us. Fear. And fear becomes a master. Fear demands that no matter whatever triggers that fear, once the fear is triggered by whatever experience, by whatever it is, everything within the jurisdiction of that thing is now ruled by that fear. Your response is based on fear. Your reaction, your desires is based on fear. Not the Lord's priority. Not the Lord's, nothing God has said. He rules. So that's why, according to Romans, it means that Christian have presented those parts or members of their bodies to fear. And they rule. And the master is relentless. Because the needs of the masters are only met by servants. If there were no servants, there would be any need for a master. Everyone will be chiefs and masters. So masters always make sure there are servants. Sin will always make sure there are servants. Fear will always demand servants. Unbelief will demand servants. All these vices will look for those who will serve him. Isn't that what the devil does? He was never the master of our lives. But he wanted that, and we gave him access. Once Adam and Eve submitted to his demands, he started mastering our lives. So be careful who you submit yourself to obey. Whatever, examine your life and say, you know, in all the areas of my life, who am I really submitting to? Am I submitting to the Lordship, the mastership of Jesus Christ? Am I submitting to the Lordship of something else? We must make God the master of our lives by surrendering as a matter of priority. As a matter of priority, as a matter of devotion, we must submit our body, spirit, and soul to Christ and Christ alone. We must make, remember this, you must make in your desires, make Christ the master of your desires. Make Christ the master of your emotions, the master of your will, the master of your decisions. Invite Him, surrender your time and your resources to only Jesus Christ. Let Him be the master. Let me tell you something. If there's anything in life that you're investing your time and resources more than you're investing in the kingdom of God, that particular area is an indication you have a master other than Jesus Christ. But when you submit the entirety of your life under the leadership of Jesus Christ, help as a matter of devotion, prime devotion and priority, guess what? Everything else has its place, its proper place in your life. They won't rule you. And so how do we disconnect from anything that is mastering us? How do we disconnect from fear? How do we disconnect from the things that are not of God? The first step is that...
That's the first step, and this is for those who are not born again. The first step is to invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and your Savior, to be your Master. This is the first step. And I'll encourage you to read John chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, Acts chapter 2, 38, and Romans 10, 9 to 11. Because the only way Jesus can be your Master is first you must become born again. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And it's a simple process. If you really believe that Christ is here as your Savior, if you have to understand that we are sinners and we need somebody to help us, somebody to save us. When you acknowledge that you're a sinner, when you acknowledge that you need a Savior, then you go to Jesus Christ and invite Him into your life. You simply tell Him to forgive you your sins. You acknowledge that you're a sinner and you just invite Him into your life. And then you're saved. That is the first step to make Jesus Christ your master. Now, for the rest of us, the rest of the people who are born again, let me emphasize this point. It is important that we re-acknowledge Jesus Christ as our master. The challenge we have is this. For a lot of us Christians, we see Jesus as Lord. We see Him as Redeemer. We see Him as a lot of things, but we fail to recognize Him as a master. Now, the problem with that is this. If you don't recognize Jesus Christ as your master, then you won't realize the need to submit to Him as a servant. Because the master is in charge of the servant. So we have to reassess our lives and re-acknowledge Jesus Christ as our master, the one who lords over us. Because as our master, He's the final determiner of our destiny. He has the right to do anything. He has a sovereign over us, and He decides how we come and how we go. So now Jesus Christ is your master. So the next thing you do then is you begin to disconnect yourself. Begin to disconnect yourself from your relationship with anything else you've made Lord and master over your life. How do you do this disconnection? It's simple. Your disconnect comes about when we stop focusing devoted attention to anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the area of devotion, our devotion must primarily be towards our master. You devote yourself to your master. There are certain areas of our lives that must be devoted to the master. In the area of our time, your time must be devoted to your master. He is in charge of your time. You devote your time, you devote your resources, you devote your relationship to your master. All of this must go to Jesus Christ. And in three levels, we devote time, resources, and relationship to Jesus. In our spirit, in our soul, and in our bodies. So with what we do in our spirit, with the things we do in our soul, and with the things we do in our bodies, our devotion must be towards Jesus Christ. When we are devoted in such manner to Christ, then what happens to us is that everything else we do comes out of this devotion.
is controlled by this devotion. Look at Jesus. Jesus was so devoted to the Father that everything he did came out of that relationship of the devotion towards the Father. Same is the case with us. We have to be so devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ as Master, so that everything else we do comes out of that relationship of devotion towards Him. The next aspect of disconnecting or making Jesus your Master is in the area of priority. How do you prioritize your life? And Jesus summed it up for us in Matthew 6:33. What does it say? He says, "But seek first what? The kingdom of God and its righteousness. Then these other things shall be added unto you." In other words, these other things will find their rightful place. When you make your Master your priority, when you make the kingdom of God your priority, its priority in terms of how you want to do things, when you want to do things, where you want to do anything or live your life, Jesus Christ must be the priority. You cannot make Jesus secondary in your life and expect him and expect that he's your Master. No, he's not your Master. You don't see him as your Master. He must have priority. He must have priority over every aspect of our lives. That means you deal with the kingdom first. You deal with the business of God first. You deal with the business of Jesus Christ first before you go into or about your own business. Jesus Christ is our Master. And in our anchor scripture, Matthew 6:24, he said to us, "You cannot serve two masters." It's that simple. It is not given for a Christian to serve God and to serve anyone else. We must be devoted to Jesus alone. We must make him the entire priority of our lives for his glory and his praise. In Jesus' name, amen.